Because seriously, when's the last time you were sober enough to wake up at 5:30 a.m. to listen live? Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Wake up and learn something new every day. Class is in session. This is Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I can smell you from here. Just the booze emanating from your pores.
Oh, my God, it's leaking out of my my feet, to be honest. The veins. Get me an IV of saline. Get me back to sobriety.
No, I'm kidding. But you did go out last night.
I was out last night, yeah. That's right.
We'll get to
You're acting like I got laid for the first time. How was it? Was she gentle with you? No, I mean, she wasn't.
I'm excited to get all the details coming up.
Leafs. Not really. I'm so tired I may not go to the Red Wings game Saturday. That tells you how beat I am.
Yeah, right.
I have hours of sleep to catch up today. It's hours of it.
It actually ends up being, you catch a big break. How ironic is that? That you have time to you're going to get down to the ACC, get to go to the game, and it happens to be the Red Wings. It's great.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah. The Canucks are here 2 weeks from Saturday. I got to choose my spots carefully. I got to do a lot of work around the house. To make sure I can go to both games. And then, because I leave for England the week after that. So, I mean, it's all about me
Detroit,
month or
Vancouver,
so.
Vancouver, England. For me. A little trip to Fort Knox in there.
Yes, that could end up happening. So, everything back to normal in Leafland. I heard car horns and saw flags in the minus 18 wind chill when I got out of the Danforth Music House last night. Party like it's 1967 again, huh?
Well, it's tricky, right? Because it's I think that this last week is going to leave a bit of a mark on this season, on a lot of fans, how they view this team, and maybe it doesn't matter how many games this team wins or where they end up finding themselves in a couple of months. I think there's still a lot of people that, yeah, are happy with the win last night, the bounce back effort that you saw, but have made up their mind that this team is too fragile for its own good.
And they're just always going to go one forward, one back, one forward. They're just going to be stuck in the middle. Are they? I hate this comparison because this is a team that went to the Stanley Cup final 10 years ago. Does this look Calgary Flames-esque from 2008 to a guy like you who worked in that market who's, the wheels are spinning. If you don't make a call one way or the other, you're gonna draft between 8th and 14th, and you might squeeze into the playoffs every few years.
Well,
the next
a little bit. Calgary was the when they had the end of Jerome McGinley and Mika Kiprusoff, they were the epitome of sitting there right in the middle with no hope either way. But they also had a team of 30 somethings.
They did. I know. Yeah, they kept a lot of those guys all the way through from 04, even Robin Regier, right?
Right. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, guys like that.
Damon Lenko was at the end, and then you had Ole Jokin coming in. But if you look at this Leafs team, I understand. And it's part of the reason, like, we'd love for Brendan Shanahan to break this cone of silence and come on our show and really unveil to us and everybody what he thinks and who he doesn't like and the stamp he wants to put. But the one thing about Brendan Shanahan, he has the luxury of time and silence and to sit back and to observe.
He's got bullets in the chamber still, doesn't he?
He's got a fully loaded weapon.
I want to pursue this morning because if he comes out and starts talking about this is what I see and I think this and I think that, people then say, well, then do something about it. I hate saying hiding's a strong word. I hate saying not being front and center gives him an out when he wants, because then he starts to own this. If this doesn't go well and this is missing the playoffs by 8-10 points and guys want out of here, then he starts to own it. I think he should own it anyway. I think that's the way to go about it. What are you saving time for? You've got Brendan Shanahan is beyond bulletproof, given the authority they gave him, the money they gave him, the term they gave him. He left a good job with the NHL. He's beyond bulletproof. So even if he owns some of this, if it's the season that he doesn't think it's going to be, So what? I mean, he could fire Dave Notice and Randy Carlyle today after a win, and we'd go, yep, we get it. Everybody gets it.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it great timing, but they would get it. And so you're right, his absence, we've been thinking about that a lot the last few days, and maybe there's no need to yell and scream for, hey, where is he? They won. And maybe they'll win Saturday, and maybe they'll win next Wednesday as well.
The fan base is very reactionary. The media is similar, although I still maintain, I mean, reacting to a 6-2 loss in Buffalo and a 9-2 loss to Nashville is apt, right? It's apt because it was an embarrassing week for anybody, you know, that watches and loves this team.
You were there Saturday. We both saw Tuesday's game. Those aren't just any old losses.
No, they're
like,
not.
Like
they're not.
There were a bunch of, you know, like Ottawa beat Nashville last night, and you go, wow, oh, Nashville was so good at. That's the NHL, man. I mean, that's the NHL. Teams are gonna go on hot and cold runs. That's not what Saturday and Tuesday felt like to Maple Leafs observers.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
And for Shanahan, at the end of the day, he can look and say, "I'm 20 games into my tenure, right?"
Yeah.
Like sometimes people like to roll their eyes at Brian Burke, but in the heat of the moment, where he comes out firing brimstone and guns slinging and throwing guys under the bus, you like it. Right? You like the theater of it. Brendan Shanahan obviously isn't Brian Burke. And if Burke was here, he'd be on our show talking about God knows what.
Yeah.
And I like Burke.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Everything being equal, I like him. But it's not the worst thing that Brendan Shanahan is the opposite of overreaction.
And I've told you the story before about a couple other GMs. The day the Kessel trade was made, he's not even a year on the job, and people say, huh? He didn't have to do that to keep the fans happy. The fans wouldn't have cared if they drafted second or third overall, you know, the next season. You don't have to go get Phil Kessel because you think he can compete right away. As it turns out, no one begrudges the deal. No one should begrudge the deal. And Phil Kessel wasn't even a real catalyst last night, but they got enough done in, I wouldn't say his absence, but that's a good sign that they won without him having to lead the troops, if you will, like he did against Boston last week. He was great against the Bruins last Wednesday.
538, Brady and Walker. Yeah, the Leafs win. They played great last night, but they do not salute the fans with the stick tap at center. What does that mean? The Oakland Raiders win a game, and Greg Brady goes out. If you can believe it. Look out. Lock up your mothers and daughters and nieces
bartenders.
And aunts. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We went out last night.
5:43, Brady and Walker. Greg Brady. Went out last night. You're like a cooped up cat.
I was ready to go.
In the house all winter.
I really was. I was ready to roll out and have a good time last night. And I did. It was the music more than the... my ears are ringing this morning. It's not just the music we play on this show.
So who did you see? Spice
Johnny,
Girls?
Johnny Marr. No, honestly. Johnny Marr, who used to be in the Smiths and electronic. Little, you know, probably 52-year-old... one of the great guitar legends. He is listed as one of the top 50 guitarists of all time with people you know like Slash and other people. Eric Clapton. He's on the list. Put it that way.
What's wrong with Slash and Eric Clapton?
No, they're great. I'm just saying. I'm yelling.
Why did
now.
You? Okay, I was going to say, why do you say Slash like that? So did you have a good time?
Yeah.
Did you did. You go to a concert? You're supposed to have a couple cool ones. Did you achieve the over-under of 3.5?
They had two small cans. It was odd. The Danforth's got... You wouldn't like the beer menu maybe that much, but there are two small cans of Moosehead that look like pop cans from the 1970s. They were so small. They weren't exactly tall boys, or as I call it, big beers. And then I had a, God, what was the name of the beer? There's a squirrel beer.
Barking squirrel?
Barking squirrel. Yeah, from Hop City. That's what I had. It was a larger can, which has a little caramel flavor to it. You know, little caramel pale ale flavor to it.
So it was, there was no daiquiris. There was no because we give you a hard time. We give you a hard time in public because
I like a hard time. That's what she said.
Like we'll go out after the Leafs game. We give you a hard time because it's like an 11 p.m. Caesar or
on
something
a Saturday,
for you.
No less. Like look out, I could sleep into 8 a.m. on Sunday. So yeah, but you some of your more legendary shows and you had amazing opinions have happened with under 3 hours of sleep. So I'm hopeful today.
So what time did you actually roll back in?
I took my time. I had the beers very early, and so I'm, you know, three drinks in about a 5 hour span. I had a couple Diet Cokes to round out the night, and got home about 12:20, and then was right back up about 3:55. So how about that? Watched a few highlights.
Pretty good. Proud of you. Proud of you.
And we saw the end of Kansas City, Oakland,
right?
Live on television, all the way from the Bay Area. And what do you know? On a muddy field, Thursday night. It would have been something else if Andy Reid had just said, "Hey, Thursday night, I have no more Thursday night on the road. I have no more comment," and blamed it all on being 3 days in, gotta travel. They couldn't get much practice in when they got there. It was pouring rain for the last day and a half in Oakland. They had the field covered with a tarp. And with a minute 42 left, a Derek Carr to James Jones touchdown gets the Raiders off the proverbial schneid, and they're 1-10 instead of 0-11. And maybe we were giving the Chiefs the game and giving them an 8-3 record, and maybe
sure we were. Yep,
does it jeopardize a Kansas City playoff berth at the end of the day? They got to play Denver again. They got to play Denver next week.
It's good news for Denver, who now, you're right, gets to at least have a chance to cruise to a division title. I've been back and forth in Oakland all season because I thought early in the year, people were putting them in the category of where the Jets were and where the Jags were. I didn't think it was fair because I thought they had some hard-fought games and just fell short. And, you know, they got a new quarterback they're trying to develop and all of this. And then the last, I don't know, 5-6 weeks, they've just been...
They feel like they're slipping further away.
They've been
away. Embarrassing.
And that loss to San Diego on Sunday. I mean, Oakland looked like the bad news bearers of football, right? It was... They couldn't even run a play. Guys are running into each other. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, they have had 5 losses under 6 points, and almost had one last week with a 13-6 loss. But yeah, it felt like... And we isolated that Buffalo at Oakland game December 21st with Randall the Handle yesterday and said maybe that'll be their last chance to win. Now the great debate would be, not that there's an undeniable first overall pick, there's not an Andrew Luck, there just isn't a guy like that. There's not an Eli Manning that you're going to take first overall. But are they going to finish last? Because the Jags are 1-9, few other 2-8 teams, including the Jets. We have to play that game in Detroit on Monday.
It would be a different conversation if in the last how many years the Andrew Luck draft was the draft where you better not finish second last. You better make sure you're at the end.
And it's funny, Indianapolis flirted with that because Indianapolis with Peyton Manning out, I want to say they were 0-11, and then they won 2 games in a row, including a Thursday night game, and people were looking, going, "Oh my, don't screw this up." You can slide right from Peyton Manning. They were 0-13, and they beat Tennessee at home, and they beat the Houston Texans, who were playoff bound at home in a night game. And people were saying, "Don't screw this up," because you can slide right from 15 years of Peyton Manning to another 15 of Andrew Luck,
and they did,
like the Packers did,
and they did.
And they did.
Oakland still, to me, they didn't feel like a proverbial 0-16 team, though. Although you get to 0-10, and you start to wonder if it could happen. I'm kind of glad it didn't, because 0-16 is infamy, right? That's reverse Miami Dolphins. That is reserved for the worst clubs in history. And I haven't felt like Oakland is that. Right,
no.
They're embarrassing. Don't get me wrong.
The Lions started to turn that into a no doubter. Like they just started to run away with it. I'm looking at their
25 point losses.
Yeah, 0-8 losses. They lost it. Remember Thanksgiving? They lost to Tennessee 47-10. Like right out of the gate, just an average Tennessee team is up 24-0 in about 7 minutes
on Thanksgiving.
The closest I can find 3 games within 5 points, both to the Viking, 2 of them to the Vikings, and the rest were just blowout, disastrous losses to go 0-16. So no. Yeah, Oakland maybe isn't going 1-15, and maybe they're not even drafting first overall. We'll see.
Brady and Walker, 5:50, coming up at about 7:50 this morning. It's one of our favorite things. Hometown hockey, Rogers Hometown Hockey on City TV, hits Fort McMurray. So we will do our trivia segment. Our producer, Ryan Faber, will be back in, and here he is right now with Now and Then.
Now and Then, a hopefully but potentially not entertaining look back at some of the great and not so great moments in this day's history.
And of course, that's Fort McMurray, New Brunswick, a lovely little hamlet just south of Fredericton.
The key
do your research.
Oh, Sorry, and Predators have in some, Nova Scotia also.
See, there's been a lot of, you know, a couple Alberta cities now, so I'll have the trivia questions for you. I'll quiz you on Fort McMurray. Yeah. What do you know?
Can you drive there from Calgary? I mean, in any good distance? That is a long...
It's a long trip.
All 6 hours?
If you're working in Fort McMurray, it's big on oil, you're taking a plane.
So that's like us driving to Sudbury or something from here. You ever drive to Sudbury, Fabro? Ontario boy?
Not personally, on like a bus trip, like grade 10 or something like that. Never want to go back.
By the way, you ever been to the Sioux?
Never will go.
Oh, really?
Right.
The Sioux is preferable to Sudbury among our northern Ontario OHL
Any city. Person I've ever met from the Sioux is crazy. Like crazy, craziest people. It's only been like three people, but they're all nuts. So, yeah. Anyway. I could be wrong.
I put a Greyhounds home game on your bucket list. That's just what I would do.
All right.
Go ahead.
I try to stay away from anything Greyhound related. Betting, buses, even the dogs. And
right. Drinks.
What about Whippets?
Oh, man.
They're kind of like a furrier Greyhound. Yeah. November 21st, of course, today is the winter solstice.
I'm not sure of that.
I don't.
I don't know.
I don't think that's
it's
right.
The longest day of the year. It'll feel like it.
It's in a month now.
Okay.
What happened on this date? Really, really nothing. Nothing.
Well, it was great having you.
1964, the Verrazano Bridge opens, connecting Staten Island and Brooklyn. It's the biggest bridge down there. Biggest suspension bridge.
Longer than that one on the Danforth.
Correct. Yeah. That's where the New York Marathon begins. I would probably get to the other side of the bridge and just, okay, I'm going to stop for a pizza and a beer in Brooklyn. And then take a cab to the airport or something like that. But there you go.
Is there a bridge that scares you? It frightens you being on? Nothing. The Mackinac Bridge, in the snow in the winter, it shakes when you're on it.
No, bridges do get icy. True.
It's true.
No, you know what scares me is like the bridge at the end of True Lies, you know, out in the middle of the ocean. That one that connects all the Florida Keys. It's like 200 miles.
Right.
Long. That drive would kind of be weird. You, the ocean. And, I don't know. Be weird. Anyway, what else happens?
Speaking of Jamie Lee Curtis, go ahead.
Oh, that's a good tease. 2007, England fail, easy to be for me to say, to qualify for the Euro 2008 tournament with Croatia. Mauled them at Wembley. I remember watching that and laughing.
It was Scott Carson goal, wasn't it?
I don't know what it was. They walked in and just kicked their ass. You're an England.
I do remember the game.
Fan.
Sure.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Is that worse than being a
League
fan?
You like England too? You cheer for England, don't you?
No, I watch the league. I hate England.
You don't care about international.
True. Is that worse than being?
Neither of you are from England, so it makes sense.
I'm a half hit. Well, we can't. We would cheer for Canada in a World Cup, but we've told you that before. They're
you
not
cheer
making it anytime soon.
You cheer for America in all the big hockey tournaments.
If that's there was not a true.
If there
yes,
was a
it lie,
is.
If there was
it's a
lie
controversial statement.
I know it is. If there was we, a lie
we were
detector,
here. We were here during the Olympics. We were watching you fist bump for Joe Pavelski.
I just was impressed by their puck movement early on against the Czech Republic.
You would fail one of those lie detectors.
Oh.
As a Canadian,
maybe.
A birthday time. You talked about what old chick did you just talk about there?
Jamie Lee Curtis?
All right. Well, it's not her birthday, but it's Goldie Hawn's. I thought she was very pretty back in the day.
In Overboard with Kurt Russell,
sure.
Like that era?
Yeah. How old today, Walker?
Goldie Hawn, I'm going to say older than we think, 66.
73.
69. Nobody close there.
It's how about close?
He's close to 3 years for you.
I want better.
How old was she when she had Kate Hudson then? Because Kate Hudson seems still very young. That seems
her bio here. I don't know.
Oh, I'm just asking.
Kate Hudson would be 30, early to mid 30s.
I'd say a lot closer to 40.
I would say that.
Hudson's 35. Okay, we're in the middle there.
Troy Aikman. Do we give him enough credit for being a great quarterback?
Yeah, I wonder about that. I always kind of try and sneak him into the top 10 rankings, but then you realize you're leaving some pretty undeniable guys out there that maybe we didn't see as much, or Johnny Unitas.
His fault he had Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and Jay Novacek.
But we don't do it with Terry Bradshaw. All these people are like, hey, rings. Well, he's got them, four of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Troy Aikman, 48 today. Ken Griffey Jr., 45. And Alex Tongay is 35.
Took a puck right in the chiclets last night. He has a broken jaw. It's actually not funny.
No, but it's a good birthday.
There you go. Thank you.
Like, did you have to kill off another birthday to add Alex Tongay?
Yeah, sorry. Michael Strahan's 43, too. The number one hit 60 years ago. Well, 61 years ago today. getting you set for...
Damn those Nazis.
The Primetime Sports Roundtable tonight. It's Tony Bennett from Rags to Riches. Of course, you think of Goodfellas when you hear this.
This was the only thing that got us through the reign of the Kaiser.
Yeah. We'll go back to Count Basie next Friday, whoever that is.
I don't know.
5:56, Brady and Walker. Leafs bounce back. But do they send a message to the fans post-game?
Are they impolite Leafs? Impolite Maple Leafs.
We'll tell
now.
You what happened, and we'll tell you what didn't happen next. Brady and Walker, 5:56, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
In my heart, I'd be a king. Your love is all that ever matters.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. The Leafs snap their losing streak against the Lightning.
Here's Van Riemsdyk in on the left wing. He scores! Holy mackerel, what a shot! James Van Riemsdyk from the top of the circle beats the glove hand of Bishop. Onto the wing to Kessel. The snapshot is on. There's the rebound. Scores! James Van Riemsdyk! What a pair of Angora mittens on that guy.
You're listening to Brady and Walker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
6:03, Brady and Walker, good morning. A pair of storylines yesterday from the Leafs 5-2 win over Tampa. Number one is the bounce-back effort. But I wonder, Greg, if the moments directly after this game start to make the bigger headlines today.
I wonder. Some will make it so. We'll start with the game itself, a 5-2 win. The Leafs got a goal basically on their second shift of the game with David Clarkson scoring coming into the zone. It was a, you know, he was about as, that's about as in full flight as David Clarkson can get for a goal, but he puts it in his sixth. But boy, going into the first intermission, I wondered, watching this game back, a really sloppy giveaway by Jake Gardner. Alex Killorn scores shorthanded. And then Richard Ponick basically makes his own goal on a bad turnover by Matt Carl, but Ponick still had to give the effort to glove the puck down. He took Ben Bishop out of the crease, slid it in on the back end. It may end up being a pretty important goal. I don't know where we'll rank it in April among important goals, but if the Leafs had given up the next one, right, and the Leafs give up the next one, it goes 2-1 Tampa in the first 5 minutes of the second.
It's a fragile group, right?
Yeah. Does, do the lights start to, does everything bright start to get just a little bit darker? Do the fans say, we know what's coming here? We've seen it at different times this season. It turns out the Leafs get the next two goals after the Ponick goal, both by James Van Riemsdyk. The fourth was the 4-1 goal is a real thing of beauty right at the side of the crease, getting the puck up high past Bishop, and they swap goals the rest of the way. Now, the second part is, you take it from here and tell me what the sort of buzz was last night post-game about this.
Well, as you put it, this team and this fan base, it's not exactly a love affair right now. People love their team, but it's been a difficult week. Well, after the game, the Leafs win. And as is, I don't want to say tradition, but as is normalcy, they go to center ice and salute the fans. Whatever. Whether it's hollow or not, they do it in pretty much every market these days. They didn't do it. They skated to the dressing room. Now, I'm not saying it's the worst thing ever, but it was something to note. It was very noticeable.
So is it a snub?
Gord Stellick talked about it on the post-game show.
Some people will define it as a snub this morning.
Right.
Right?
That's well, and it...
They, oh, you don't just
but
forget
it clearly
that.
Is.
Right.
It clearly is a snub. Is it warranted or... not. Now, I've spent the last 48 hours, Greg, talking about, and for some people, whatever. It's not a big deal. It doesn't bother them. I hate the jersey throw, right? I think your team can struggle. I think you can want everybody traded. You can want the coach fired, and that's okay. It's your right as a fan. But it is disrespectful throwing your jersey on the ice, and this was a club that was getting booed off the ice a number of nights at the ACC. Phil Kessel even called it disrespectful and took some heat in the post game the other night or at practice the next day. Is this a show of the Toronto Maple Leafs saying you're gonna boo us off the ice and throw jerseys no matter what city we play in? Well, enough of this.
I got a few thoughts. My opinion is it's far from an accident.
Of course, it's on purpose.
It's very predetermined, and I don't care about it. I don't know who even started the trend. I can't even remember the first game I was at. The Rangers have done it in the NHL for a long time. I saw a couple junior teams do it. It's sort of like the bench flyby. My kids' team does it. Like, you only get 45 minutes on the ice, and in an 8-6 game, you're wasting 8 minutes on flybys by your bench and going back to your goalie and everything. Like, who? There's NHL teams, was it the St. Louis Blues, that just said, we're not doing it even anymore. It's very peewee hockey-ish. Now, last night, there will be, as I said, I don't care about it. I don't think you terribly care about getting to the bottom of this. But some people will say, all right, who did it? Let's find out publicly. Who arranged this? Is this Dion Phaneuf? Is this the coach? Who is this? Who feels more under the gun than anybody else? And did they say, guys, this one's for us? We might get back to doing it Saturday, but I'll tell you what, you and I like talking about the game when who's on the roster, when the puck drops. I don't think we get caught in who talks when, who shows up at an optional practice. It's not something you and I are going to yell and scream about to kill airtime. We're not going to do it.
No, but at the same time, it is on purpose, right?
Yeah.
They'll get asked about it at practice today. I mean, personally, I liked it because I'm a little, in some aspects, this fan base puts up with a lot and they still buy their tickets. They still buy their merchandise and they've gotten relatively no success out of it. But I've been embarrassed with the jersey throws. We had Nick Kyprios on yesterday. He played for the Leafs 15, 20 years ago. And he said, that's disrespectful to him, right? The Hall of Fame game, Pittsburgh's in town. You got Sundin and Salming and Lanny McDonald. They're there. You think they like the jersey toss?
No.
This was the Leafs, rightly or wrongly, sticking it back to the fans a little bit.
Hey, yeah, play for each other. You know, if you want to wait till you clinch, don't do it again until you clinch a playoff spot. I don't care one way or the other. But the problem is today, I know people will care. And some people will say, not only is it a snub, it's childish. Not only is it childish, but it shows a team that is fragile, that's thin-skinned, that lacks leadership. And, hey, some of that, even a minute amount of that might be accurate, but I have no problem with them doing it.
6:22, we will we'll ask you if you want to give us a phone call then in about 15 minutes from now. If you have a big problem with this, or if you like it, if you like the fact that this group and this leadership kind of jammed the knife back at you a little bit last night after that 5-2 victory over the Lightning, you can tell us about it. First, let's get you to what you need to know on a Friday.
This is your Friday Morning Six Pack. Six things you need to start your day.
All right, number six, we start in the NHL, and it looked like the saga of Slava Voynov in L.A., Greg, with the domestic violence case, was kind of going to end. But yesterday, he was officially charged and was surprised that he was charged with felony domestic violence by the L.A. County District Attorney's Office. Voynov faces one felony count of corporal injury to a spouse with great bodily injury. The 24-year-old has been suspended since his arrest early October.
You never quite know how things like this work, and what I mean by that is the length of time. The incident, if you will, was 32 days ago. So even if you're his wife and her lawyer, if you're Voynov and his lawyer, you are wondering, what you got a stack of cases and you can't get to this, and is it not high priority enough? But it's as serious as it gets. There was starting to be, I think, Andrew, a little bit of a drumbeat a week or so ago saying, look, Pooper, get off the pot. Let the guy play or have the L.A. district attorney charge him with something. Well, now the latter's happened, and of course he shouldn't be playing until this gets settled.
Number five, no NFL game in Buffalo this weekend because of all that snow. The pictures are still pouring in. They're actually incredible because it won't stop snowing. They've postponed the Rangers-Sabres game, which was supposed to be played tonight. And now the Buffalo Bills will not play the New York Jets in Buffalo. Instead, these two teams will hook up in Detroit Monday night at 7 o'clock. So a little extra football for you Monday. There was a little talk yesterday of perhaps this game being moved here to Toronto.
Yeah, maybe there are passport issues. I don't think it's got anything to do with the Bills and Toronto series being put on hold and probably eventually cacked altogether. It seems like that's what Terry Pegula wants. So we want the folks in Buffalo to be safe and focused on, you know, getting it back together. There's going to be a bit of a quote-unquote mini heat wave Sunday and Monday. People are now going to be very worried about flooding. I know I would be. So you're right, Andrew. We get bonus football. We get about 5.5 hours of football on Monday. Is that bad for you and I? No, it's not.
No, not at all.
No, it's not.
Number four, the Toronto Raptors close out a lengthy and what has been very successful homestand tonight against the somewhat surprising Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee and Jabari Parker sitting at 7-5 this season. They come in tonight. Raptors leading the NBA East at 9-2. And a chance to extend that lead a little bit. Washington's won a lot of games, but Chicago loses last night again to Sacramento. Just more time to kind of pad that lead.
Yeah, the Bucks would be a very surprising playoff team. They've been 4-1 at home. They're only now a game behind Chicago, and Chicago's is going to have to grit out a couple more games on the road. They got pumped by the Clippers last night, or rather Sacramento by 15 points. It was the Clippers that went into Miami and won. So it's a lot of East teams. Everybody, I think we'd say, except the Raptors, struggling for consistency. 5-5 Cleveland goes to Washington tonight before the Raptors go to Cleveland tomorrow. Cleveland could be a 5-6 team, and the Raptors could be a 10-2 team when they show up tomorrow.
Number three, NFL Thursday Nighter. Yes, the Oakland Raiders will not join the ranks of 0-16 clubs. They win their first, ending a 16-game slide, 24-20 over the Kansas City Chiefs. Oakland actually played pretty well in this game. It came down to the wire, a touchdown pass to James Jones with a minute 42 remaining. But all of a sudden, Kansas City, who, let's be honest, everybody was kind of gifting them this win to move to 8-3, they're 7-4. Who does that open things up for a little bit in the AFC to get back in the playoff hunt?
It's got to be a good feeling for the Miami Dolphins, although Miami has to go to Denver this week, and it'll probably be a snarly, if you will, Broncos team. I would especially look at their division mate San Diego, who has a very important game against St. Louis at home. Chargers still play the Chiefs one more time. San Diego can equal Kansas City's 7-4 record. And though Kansas City's already beaten San Diego in San Diego, San Diego's going to have to go to Arrowhead last week of the season. The winner of that, that could be the final playoff spot.
Number two, interesting day for the Blue Jays as they introduce Russell Martin. He was on Primetime Sports. You'll hear some of that audio next at 6:27. Deonner Navarro, reports are he wants out. Does this come as a big surprise? The number one thing you need to know, the Leafs do bounce back. A 5-2 win over Tampa Bay was really one of their most complete games of the season. Jonathan Bernier with 26 saves. JVR with a couple of goals to lead the way. We want to send you to the ACC as tomorrow Toronto takes on the Detroit Red Wings, courtesy of the Great Blue Heron Casino. As we do every morning, name us that mystery player. Here is your first clue. His best season in the National Hockey League actually came in his first season. 82 points as a 21-year-old. Your next clue coming up at 7:14 this morning.
So coming up, Alex Anthopoulos, he was on Primetime Sports yesterday, got to introduce the mustachioed Russell Martin, the new Blue Jays catcher. But what did Alex Anthopoulos say that's pretty intriguing to us about his infield? We'll play it for you in about 10 minutes at 6:26.
And at 6:22, the Leafs do not salute their fans last night after the win. Big deal? Or does it bother you at all?
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Back at it. Brady and Walker. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
At the end of the game, the Leafs traditionally do that salute to the fans where they skate to center ice slowly and lift their stick up. And they left the ice without doing it, which is the first time I haven't seen it here at Air Canada Center. I don't know if that was their subtle or not so subtle message to the fans for what they haven't appreciated in the past. I hope I didn't see what I think I see. I know it's a little thing.
6:23, Brady and Walker, that is Gord Stellick. That was on the Leafs Nation postgame show last night on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. As moments after the Leafs big bounce back victory, 5-2 over Tampa, the usual salute to the fans with the sticks in the air at center did not happen. Did this bother you? Give us a call, 416-870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone if you want to weigh in. Was this, in your opinion, Greg, on purpose? Was it meant to cause friction, or it was just one of those things?
Maybe, and maybe not even before the game. It was certainly meant on purpose. I just don't think when you get in, players are creatures of habit. We're all creatures of habit. This is like forgetting to have coffee on the seventh morning of a week after you have it the previous six. You just wouldn't forget. You made a definitive decision not to do it, and especially something so public with 18,000 people there. So maybe word spread down the bench late in what looked like was going to be a win at the time with a two-goal lead, a three-goal lead, and they said, enough's enough. We want to make a statement here. Maybe it's a one-time occurrence. I don't – now, this is funny, isn't it, Andrew? Because I'm going to say I don't care about it, but we're talking about it. This is sort of like the guy that says, guys, why are you talking about this? And we're like, you called us to talk about us talking about it. That's –
yeah,
come on, you've fallen into the sports talk radio trap, but I don't. We said it for you, and you fell in. But I would bet it's got something to do, don't you think, with the element that they feel that there's some degree of disrespect that's come. And again, can a bad egg ruin it for everybody? Sure, three fans can get in a fight at a soccer match or that we were talking 10 year anniversary of Malice at the Palace. Was everybody on the floor trying to fight Indiana Pacers players? No, four or five drunk idiots were. But then it's like, oh, the crowd, what a bad crowd that was tonight. Bunch of rowdies, you know?
It's been a lot of years out of the playoffs, and everybody knows the 1967 thing. But I do wonder, you look at this group of players, they're 10-8-1. They obviously have their flaws, but they're not a last place group. And by my count, Greg, of their eight losses, six games, there's been a jersey thrown on the ice. Does this group deserve that?
And does that lead the league? Forgive me, but yes. Does that lead the league?
And Edmonton to be second. They obviously feel they don't. We go to Drew in Toronto. Drew, your thoughts on what you saw last night.
Morning, boys.
Hey.
Hey. I don't mind it, actually. I've been a fan since I could learn to walk, and I understand that the team's going to have ups and downs. I mean, like you said, they're not a Buffalo last-place team. I mean, sure, the past couple of games have been, you know, I myself have been pissed off about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I look at the big picture. These guys needed a win for themselves, and I was watching left, right, and center to make sure that they played, you know, as a team, and they did. So this win was for them, and this is basically just to stick it to the closet fans that want attention for themselves. And I know a bunch of closet Maple Leaf fans that only watch during the play, that only watch when the team is good, and when the team is bad, They chirp. It's like cricket.
Yeah, and you're right. And listen, that's the case in every city with every sports team. You can take the most popular teams in North America, and you'll say, hey, you big New York Yankees fan? Oh, well, yeah, I love the Yankees. You're like the guy in the laundromat, the Blue Jays fan that can't recognize Brett Laurie, and you're like, oh, big Yankees fan. Oh, where were you for 14 years in the entire 1982 to 1994 span? Every team. There are Raptors fans who go to every game, who've been sitting there watching 25-win teams, who maybe now are upset that there's more fans. It's like you like a band, and you go see them with 400 people, and then all of a sudden they turn into U2, and you're like, oh, yeah, where'd all you people come from? I know that's an element
right
here.
You're right. I mean, there's every – you're right. Every team in every sport in every city has an element of this crazy overactionary fan base. But there's one organization in sports right now where they're throwing jerseys on the ice after every loss, and that's the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's not happening in any other NHL city, and that's what makes it embarrassing. And that's what the players thought as well.
A couple more, Adam and Markham. We'll get to this Deonner Navarro, the latest on him. Adam and Markham, go ahead. You're on Brady and Walker at 628.
Yeah, morning, guys.
Hi.
I loved it. I loved this last night. We're talking about the fragility of the Leafs. This is a step in the right direction to building a backbone, and the first people they can stand up against are the fans. They need to bring themselves together as a team, and if this is how they start doing it and getting their backbone and integrity together and strength, and this is what they have to do, let's take it. Let's take it as a positive.
Yeah, I don't mind a little. I don't mind a little fight back. It stops short when you get into a situation where it's not like we're talking about an obscene gesture or something. It's not like we're talking about sometimes you get an NBA player being heckled and he'll mutter something to somebody because courtside you can hear everything. That's not what this is. That's not what this is in the least. Now, Saturday becomes kind of fascinating in a silly way. It's
do they win?
Because then if you do it, it's like, see all the media pressure. And again, we're not sitting here telling you we got any issue with it. We're not telling you they should do it. I don't. I don't care about it. Yet we're talking about it for 7 minutes that we to make it clear that we don't care. But we know. I love hearing from people who are passionate about it, who say, good, exactly. If you think you're being disrespected, you stand up. If your boss is like ripping you left, right, and center, and then all of a sudden you have one good day and they come in and they're like, way to go, Sam. You're a fantastic employee. You're a little like, you're kidding me. Now you're praising me. You feel like that a little bit.
629, Brady and Walker. Now, yesterday was another busy, interesting day for the Blue Jays as Russell Martin gets introduced to Toronto in his unveiling press conference. Alex Anthopoulos did his media as well. This was one of the things that we took out of the Anthopoulos news conference and his appearance on Primetime Sports. He was asked, can you go into this coming season without making an addition at second or third base?
Yes. Not ideal, but we can, because we do think if we're good defensively and we've, you know, fill and shore up some of the other areas, we still can have a good offensive team. And look, we went into last year not having an established guy, and we still had to, you know, mix and match. But from an offensive standpoint, we were still in the top five. I think we were fourth in runs scored and OPS. So we still can have a strong lineup. And you really, as much as you'd like to fill every spot, you're looking at the collection 1 through 9 and what type of offense production are you going to get. So that being said, we'd like to do better. We'd like to have probability, stability, all those things at all the spots. But we can't force it because you never know when opportunities are going to present themselves.
We don't feel the Blue Jays are done, but Greg, does this kind of lend into the fact that we probably are looking at a team next year with still kind of a question mark at second base?
To some extent, unless you've got one of either two things that are going to happen. Either Meiser Asturias is going to be healthy and productive enough that they think in the last year of his contract, they get games out of him. Or Devin Travis, who was acquired last week for Anthony Gose, is so undeniable in Dunedin and so prominent and so good defensively and picks up major league hitting. We've seen it. Look, we saw with Anthony Gose was supposed to be a star. He just was 5-6 years ago. We're like, Anthony Gose has star potential. One of those two things is going to happen. You've said it, and I agree with it. It's very difficult for any team. I was looking at the San Francisco Giants opening day lineup. There's your World Series champs. And is it ideal for Brandon Belt to bat second, for your lower three to be Mike Morris, Brandon Crawford, and Joaquin Arias? No, but things came along. Panic came up and played second base. They got production from Crawford they never expected. So things can develop. It's a very organic process during the season. And yeah, it'd be great to get... We've talked about Jed Lowry before. We've talked about a couple other guys as options. Steven Drew as options at second base, who had a very bad year last year. But, God, is this second base is by far not their biggest need. It's two outfield positions, maybe just the one in left field, the bullpen, making sure that you're thrilled with all five starters. If they're desperately trying to trade Ari Dickey, there's more drumbeats about that than anything, it feels like, lately. Then who has taken R.A. Dickey's spot in the rotation?
So Russell Martin introduced, who, of course, is a catcher, 5 years, $82 million. What happens with Deonor Navarro? Does he become a DH? Does he become a bench player, to sub in here and there where he can? Well, according to John Heyman of CBS, this report came out yesterday, Deonor Navarro would just prefer to play somewhere else where he's an everyday player. And you can't really blame him, can you?
No, and especially the Dickey thing's also a factor, isn't it? Because you can't even get him spot starts at catcher on the days Ari Dickey pitches,
right?
Because there's no history of catching the knuckleball. So if Ari Dickey's here, Josh Tolley's here. And if Ari Dickey's here, Josh Tolley's not here. But he's going into a free agency year. I heard Alex say this yesterday. I think they want to do him a solid, but they can't. Alex can't let a GM call him up for Deonor Navarro and bend him over backwards and give him a couple tin cans for Deonor Navarro. That's an asset. And it's not his fault. This is the obvious upgrade that you make. I remember Brandon Inge was the catcher in Detroit. They signed Pudge Rodriguez. Hey, too bad you're not catching anymore. We just signed Pudge Rodriguez. Deonor Navarro, it's nice. The Jays corner the market on chubby switch-hitting catchers who are good teammates, but they got a guy who's better. So you can't play there 120 games anymore. That's how it goes.
Ken Rosenthal supporting Jay's kicking tires on another former Tiger outfielder, this one, Torii Hunter. Is there anything left in Torrey Hunter's gas tank?
I wonder if we differ on that. I'd love to know what you think about it, but I'd say I think when it's going to go for Torrey Hunter, it's going to go. He's still at 17 home runs last year. I don't think his defense is, I don't even think it's league average anymore. You're third. They've had to move him, obviously, to the corner. You couldn't even spot play him in center field. But there's still some pop in the bat. He had 157 hits. He doesn't walk very much anymore, but he got on base a fair bit. He had the lowest OPS he's had since he was 23 years old, though. So that's 15 years ago. It's a lot of tread on the tires.
There is, and he's, what is he, 38 years old,
turning
I want to say?
Turning 39 next season, yeah, in the middle of the summer.
The one thing about Torrey Hunter, though, is, I mean, he's not an everyday player, right? And like Anthopoulos always says, yeah, we like every guy at the right price. I wonder if there's a bigger market for Torrey Hunter, or if he's a guy that ends up being your fourth outfielder coming off the bench, and a guy that's been there, and a guy that's won, and a guy that can mentor Dalton Pompey a little bit.
Andrew,
it's interesting.
How many games would Torrey Hunter have played last year on this team when you had a slumping Colby Rasmus? As I said, he can't play center that often. When you were given games galore to Pilar and Reimold and Mastroianni and Cole Gillespie,
you were giving
games to everybody last year.
6:35, Brady and Walker at 6:42. We'll tell you about the move that the NFL did yesterday with the Buffalo Bills because of all that snow.
And if you go to the gym, the gentle man or men, you absolutely positively, well, you can't be them, but you got to avoid them as well. That is 6:50.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Brady and Walker continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
6:43, Brady and Walker. I don't know if and when Toronto will get an NFL franchise, but it looked for a spell yesterday, Greg, that we might be getting NFL football this Monday night in Toronto.
Would you have gone Monday night? Why not?
I think I would have.
Yeah, even Sunday's tough to give up. I always think that about Sunday. I know you were.
Yes, it is.
You were hustling back from Buffalo, but you probably want to make sure you got here by 1 o'clock. Because that's when games start, and I gotta say, it sucks being in the car from 1 to 4 o'clock on a Sunday. I hate being anywhere except in front of my TV on a Sunday at that hour.
Is this a good or bad thing for the NFL? Because we all know the NFL makes money hand over fist. They don't have to sell. They can play in front of empty stadiums and make a ton of dough. But I don't want to go unless it's just, you know, a rare boys trip or something like that. I don't want to go to an NFL game unless it's a primetime game. Because I love, whether it's in the pub or sitting on the couch, watching that 7, 8, 1 p.m. NFL games. That's an experience you don't get if you go to Bills and Chiefs at Orchard Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that good or bad for the NFL?
I mean, I know what you're saying, because ideally there's no circumstance where, because of a hurricane, right, because of the Chargers had to move a start because of wildfires near Qualcomm Stadium 1 year. They had to move nights to play a night game. So it's not great, and maybe more so for the Buffalo Bills, because here the Jets are. The Jets have practiced and prepped, and they can get to their stadium, and their families aren't snowed in, and there isn't, you know, again, they can get down their driveways. The Bills haven't even practiced all week. So, and how are you going to get all the Buffalo Bills? You know, you're going to fly them, obviously, to Detroit, but you got more snow coming in today. It's a big advantage for the Jets. Would it be this? See, I feel like we think, well, it's a nothing game now. But even the Chiefs losing last night.
Yeah, with Kansas City losing last night.
I know. I wonder if it changed things a little bit. And God knows if Buffalo had won that game in Miami last week, because we came in a week ago and we're basically like, well, that's it for the Bills playoffs hopes. Once again, they're out by the 9 or 10 game mark. But if they end up winning, you know, not that we gave them this game as a layup against the Jets, but they did destroy them a few weeks ago. They have Cleveland coming in next week. They're hopeful. They're hopeful at most that they can even play that game next Sunday, because there's going to be flooding and there's still going to be issues in Western New York. It's not even downtown Buffalo, where you were last weekend, was a lot more okay than where the stadium is. The stadium is an utter disaster with the amount of snow. They got a year's worth of snow in basically 2 days.
Now, to recap, because of all that snow, they can't play the game at Ralph Wilson Stadium. So the Bills and the Jets have been moved to Detroit and Ford Field for Monday night. It'll be a 7 o'clock start, so we do get five and a half hours of football with a little bit of overlap.
It's nice. Baltimore-New Orleans is the Monday nighter, so that,
right.
They kind of stagger that start and do it an hour and a half later.
Not that this, I guess this doesn't matter, but what is attendance going to be like at Ford Field with the Lions on the road in New England?
I was trying to look up what it was with Minnesota and the Giants played there 4 seasons ago.
Did they do a? Was it a Monday night?
It was a Monday night game, but I feel like they started it earlier. It felt like a legit doubleheader, so they may have even played it. It was during Christmas holidays, so kids were out of school. A lot of people were off work. So I think they played it at 5 o'clock, but I can't find out what the it'll be half full. But what are tickets? 10? Like, you can't charge full freight. You can't charge what you'd charge at Ford Field for a Lions game for tickets. No one will go.
Very true.
It's not, and that was part of the problem here. The biggest problem here, we've all known this, with the Bills games in the regular season was the ticket prices. If you, let's think of a good game even from Sunday, and let's pick teams. Let's say Packers-Cowboys are playing at Rogers Center, and every ticket's $60. Those things would go like hotcakes. Those things would, but they're not $120, and the problem is they were $120, and it was stuff like Bills-Jets and Bills-Dolphins, right. And you know, Packers-Cowboys lights up the city. It's all anyone's talking about, I think, on Sunday afternoon if it's here.
We'll talk about Week 11. Jason Lacanfora joins us at 7. I guess we're Week 12 now. Jason Lacanfora joins us at 7:42. And the worst football picks that you'll hear anywhere this week, the Terrible 10, at 8:42 this morning. Brady and Walker, 6:48. Let's do best and worst.
Best.
Patrick Kane.
And worst.
Patrick Laleem.
With Brady and Walker.
Although Laleem has gone on to a successful broadcast career.
We enjoy having him on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Maybe we won't get him again. Good luck. Good luck getting Patrick Kane to pick up the phone. He doesn't call us.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't. No. Patrick Kane did score the winner last night, by the way, for the Chicago Blackhawks in Calgary. 4-3 was the final.
Phil Kessel's a bit of a warrior, and Patrick Kane's a... No, I have that backwards. Patrick Kane is the warrior who fights through everything, and Phil Kessel's just a dog with fleas. That's how it works.
It's a best win, worst loss, best player, worst player, what we saw last night. You have worst player. I'll let you start there.
Well, I didn't know which guy to pick. I'm spinning my finger around the room of the San Jose Sharks. They're a team... No one's asking them if they're trying to get Todd McClellan fired. No one's doing that in San Jose. Maybe the Sharks won't salute their fans the next game they win at home. But they lost to Florida at home. The bad thing for the Leafs, by the way, winning last night, is everybody else in their division won practically. Ottawa won. Detroit won. Everybody won, including the Florida Panthers. But they end up with a 3-2 victory. Let's pick Mark Edward Vlasic. It was a -1 last night. Hasn't had a point in 4 games. I know, not your prototypical offensive defenseman. But I'll throw it to you quickly on that. Are the Sharks a team in danger of getting their head coach fired? Expectations are finally, I think, at the tipping point for San Jose. And maybe it's for Doug Wilson as well, because Doug Wilson, you can go make changes and do this and that and switch up the room. And he didn't. And they brought back basically the same entire crew of characters that lost a 3-0 lead to the Kings last year.
I go back and forth. I don't worry about the Sharks, but this is a lesson that teams can go through bad spells. Now, I'm not saying if you're a Leafs fan, don't be outraged by a 6-2 loss in Buffalo and a 9-2 setback to Nashville. You should be. Those are embarrassing games that nobody should have to go through. But San Jose's lost twice to Buffalo and last night Florida. This is just a recent span. So you're right. They're not playing very
They've
well.
They've won 10 out of 22 games.
I'm not worried about them, though. San Jose's going to be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And the day they don't make it, well... Then Doug Wilson has some stuff to do.
There's some axes falling. Yeah. So throw us best player.
Best player last night. Well, I'll give it to a guy that we'll see tomorrow night here at the ACC. Red Wings youngster Thomas Tatar. 2 goals and an assist as the Detroit Red Wings get by Winnipeg 4-3 last night. This game was a 3-2 Jets lead after 40. And then Justin Abdelkader and Thomas Tatar with goals in the third, including that game winner with less than 5 to play.
Almost a 2020 season last year. The presence of Gustav Nyquist kind of dulls the if Tatar was on another team, maybe he'd be, especially Canadian one, he'd be hyped a little more, maybe.
Sure.
But you and your Red Wings.
Yeah, exactly. Big game last night. Detroit in town tomorrow to take on the Leafs at the ACC. Best win, what did you say?
You got it. You have to. You don't want to, but you have to, but you don't want to. The Oakland Raiders get best win with a 24-20 triumph. Sure. Over the Kansas City Chiefs. I saw people
at home, too.
Yeah, a night game. I saw people criticizing them for celebrating. Look, you know, we talked about being on bad sports teams, even as a kid, and it's miserable. We were talking about the Philadelphia 76ers and their 0-11 record when we did that. So the Chiefs, the Raiders avoid going 0-11. I think they also, there was that exhalation of exhilarating relief that they didn't end up blowing the game, right? I mean, they're up 14-0, and you're thinking at that point the Chiefs are coming right back in, and it's just going to be another what if for Oakland. But they got the victory. Worst loss.
Got to give it to the Philadelphia Flyers. Now they've been struggling anyways, and we talked yesterday about Ron Hextall coming into the locker room and just going berserk on his team. And you get the chance to do that once in a while if you're a GM. Well, last night they play a pretty solid game. It's 2-2 against Minnesota. And then in the final minute, they want to give up goals in the first minute, the last minute of a period. And with a minute to go in the game, 45 seconds, in fact, Jason Zucker scores for Minnesota. And the Flyers get no points. We award them no points in a 3-2 loss to Minnesota. That is a tough one, yet no jerseys thrown on the ice.
All right, so you spot an article. I can always do this once a year. I think it should be a staple of any talk radio, let alone sports. You're perusing your second favorite website, GQ.com.
Yes,
and
I do like GQ.
I don't know what your third favorite website is.
Loops and me.
That's right. WalkerStyle.com. Check it out. It's a brand new website. No, don't go there. But you find Gym Guy and 12 different fellows to what I suppose avoid at the gym or recognize and do you report on these 12 different characters?
Well, we all know if you spend time currently or sporadically in the gym, there's some bad gym guys.
So we should list a few here. We got about a minute here. Let's list a few and then we'll get back to a few others.
I don't think all these are accurate, but what about, I'll ask you about this guy, the naked shaver. So it's You're done with your workout. You're getting, whatever. There's male nudity in the locker room. Get used to it. But the guy that remains naked to shave at the sink.
I haven't seen that. Like, I don't think at all. I've seen naked shaving face guy, I guess. And again, a lot of these are just old guys with liver spots. So you're just like, you got a lot less time on this earth than me. You do what you want with it. When you're 60, maybe you can wander around nude and it's fine.
How about this one? The elliptical scholar. So he's the guy on the elliptical for some reason. While he's doing it, he's reading, some big leather-bound book.
Yeah, that's not a good public look. Like, maybe I overdo it with grunting and sweating and guttural noises, but you don't need to be reading the New Testament while going on the elliptical for 18 minutes and burning 62 calories.
You mentioned guttural noise guy. That's the clean and jerker. That's the kind of fat, really strong, a little bit hairy.
So we are here to pop your...
The guy that he's there to get to lift big time weights.
I think he's got that barbed wire tattoo
right
around the bicep, the lack of bicep, if you will.
This is my favorite guy. They call him in this article the Matt Potato. This is the guy that you're cognizant he's at the gym, and he's there for a couple hours so he feels good about himself, but he actually doesn't do anything. He gets some water, he chats to the girl at the front desk, he stretches a little bit.
So there's a lot of walking around from station to station
looks in the mirror, fiddles with his iPod, and you realize, like, this guy must have burned 20 calories in the last hour.
Worst gym guy will take text messages, 590, 590. Worst person to run into at the particular gym. And, yes, naked shaver guy is probably in the clubhouse right now, shaving naked, no doubt.
6:55, Brady and Walker at 7:02. Back in the Leafs, yeah, they needed a bounce-back win, and they get it over Tampa Bay. What impressed us the most? Don't forget, your chance to go to the ACC as well. Clue number two coming up for Toronto and the Detroit Red Wings. Name us that mystery player.